collectively lavished with the uniting oil of Aaron, together as the before and after people, remembering when we were not and reveling in what we are, and how good it is to anticipate the bread and the cup, and sitting together at the table of the scent. It is in the tradition of Aaron that we are priestly people, with the role of offering sacrifices of praise to God, expressed in lives of obedience, lives that are attentive to the wind and the fire of God. Can we hear the sounds of chariot wheels coming? Can we see the faces? Can we see the looks of longing? Longing for understanding on the faces of those in the chariots. Can we break into a run and keep up with the chariots? And can we launch from familiar ground and land in the seats of the chariots? Philip heard. Philip saw. Philip broke into a run. Philip launched and landed and found himself sitting in a chariot seat. And there he found that he was not only sitting beside a stranger, but that he himself was now a stranger as well. And together, these two strangers sitting on a seat together with the ancient words of Isaiah in their laps, read and learned and began to redraw, reshape, bend and blur, and even erase lines and boundaries and borders that had kept them separated in the past. And when the chariot stopped, they found that they had together become God's people. So into the water they went to symbolize and to celebrate this new reality. And then, from that life-changing moment together, that time of sharing and communion, they were sent on. How good are we at being sent? And are we rooted in a sent community? While we often have the luxury of choosing and planning and organizing our own sending, the luxury of deciding who will send us and where and when, we should combine that luxury with the willingness to perch on the edge of mystery, the willingness to entertain a surprise sending, to accommodate an unplanned sending. Once upon a time, long, long ago, far, far away, there was a tiny, tight-knit little kingdom that was being terrorized by a great beast. No, not a swooping, snatching, fire-breathing dragon, but a great big giant toad that simply sat outside the palace walls, lazily trapping flies with a less than lightning fast tongue. Its only terror to the kingdom was that it croaked all night and kept everyone awake. One warm summer evening, the sleep-deprived people of the kingdom got together for a meeting to decide what to do about this terrible beast. And as you can imagine, it would be rather embarrassing to import a famous knight to rid your kingdom of a sitting, croaking, tongue-wielding toad. And what noble knight would stoop to such a battle? So they decided, we must send one of our own. But who? Meanwhile, as little Abby sat perched on the palace wall, waiting for the adults to be done with their dumb meeting, a gentle breeze floated toward the palace, past the palace compost pile, which was actually quite warm, picking up the particularly pungent smell and carrying it straight to Abby's nostrils. Disgusted, compelled, and determined, Abby slid off the wall, marched to the compost pile, which was actually contained in a cart with wheels, and she pushed and pulled the cart into the woods and behind some hills to get that awful smell as far away as she could. Soon after that, the huge toad, realizing that the flies had relocated, crawled away deep into the woods behind some hills. And that night, everyone in the palace slept and slept and slept. Sometimes our sendings are subtle and unexpected. So we need to foster a readiness to be sent and a willingness to act. And we need to cultivate a genuine community to be sent from. Remember the people who said to each other, come, let's make some bricks and let's burn them thoroughly and let's build ourselves a city and a tower and let's make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Which is exactly what was supposed to happen at that point in the biblical story. They were supposed to fill the earth, but they resisted. So they burnt bricks and they built, and I think that they were just about to order matching jackets and maybe even get matching tattoos, when suddenly a divine disruptive interruption ended their contrived community. A severe sending for sure. And a reminder to us that our unity is a gift from God. And that unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. We have decided to think about ourselves during these days as God's people now. This brings to us a sense of immediacy. God's people not sometime in the distant horizon, not even sometime soon, but now we are sent to the very seats that we occupy at this very moment. We are always in a sent state. Sent to absorb the nearest tear. Sent to hear the nearest cry, to attend to the nearest wound, sent to the nearest of the least of these. And we are happy, and we are glad, and we are prepared to do that. But sometimes we are sent to places that make us apprehensive. And I quiver with admiration to think about Abigail, bravely intercepting men with black thoughts in their minds, raging words on their lips, swords in their hands, and revenge in their hearts. And armed with bread and wine, and riding on a donkey, Abigail waded into a bog of human conflict and made peace. And David recognized that she had been sent by God, and he exclaimed, blessed are you. Blessed is your good sense. Blessed is your God who sent you to me. You have kept me from doing violence today. Yes, we are sometimes sent into difficult places, and we might say, please don't. Please don't send me there. Please don't send me to the longest line at the cashier with the mission of modeling perfect patience. Please don't send me into a traffic jam with a mission of demonstrating a friendly demeanor to the driver that cuts me off. Please don't send me across the fence to bring fresh rhubarb pie to my slovenly neighbor whose slobbering dog traumatizes my pedigree cat. Please don't send us as a church into the world of our children to request forgiveness for putting them on hold, for continually asking them what they will be someday, rather than always embracing them as God's people now. Forgiveness for finding in them a source of entertainment and laughter during our worship services and not always receiving them as equals. Please don't send us as the church into the world of those who have been mistreated and injured in our congregations to address how this could have happened in a holy place and how it must never happen again. Please don't send us too deeply into the complexities of strained relationships with our families, with the original neighbors of our nation, with our earth. Please don't send us too far into the shadows of our finances to face the nakedness of our greed and the imbalance of our appetites. Please don't send us unarmed into the dark world of our boundaries with the task of waving fragile flags of peace. Please don't. Please don't might have been what Philip was thinking, and Abigail, and Abraham, and Esther, and Jonah, and Jesus, and many others. Please don't may be what we are sometimes thinking, but we will go. We will go to all of these places because we are God's people now. And because we are sent with our communal connection intact. And here at the table, we acknowledge that communal connection. We celebrate our community. We ceremonialize and consecrate our togetherness. Yes, we will go. But never without first, and never without always, gathering at the table to be fed with the body and infused with a covenanting cup. Isn't the bread nice? And how well it was distributed. And how well you are all doing at not eating it yet. Bread has a rich and rocky history of its own. Much of it happening in Egypt, beginning thousands of years before Christ. In the beginning, all bread was unleavened. Then around 3000 BC, the baking of bread became a skill in Egypt. And sometimes bread was used instead of money. Workers building the pyramids were paid with bread. Egyptians were buried with loaves of bread that would provide sustenance for them in the next life. One such loaf, 4,000 years old, is on display in a museum. A little bit hard, a little bit stale. Around 40 BC in Rome, authorities decreed that bread should be distributed free to all adult males. Much, much later in London, disunity and division developed among bread bakers. The brown bakers made very substantial and nutritious bread. The coarse loaves made of rye or barley or buckwheat were almost black. But as white bread grew more popular, quite a bit of friction developed between the bakers of brown bread and the bakers of white bread. And early in the 14th century, they had a split. They split into separate guilds, into separate unions. During the 16th and 17th centuries, much maneuvering went on, political, religious, and economic. And finally, the aspirations of Queen Elizabeth I were realized when the white bread bakers and the brown bread bakers were united to form the Worshipful Company of Bakers. We no longer have Queen Elizabeth I with us. But we do have with us Jesus, the bread of life, who is neither white nor brown, but multi-grain bread that unites us into one body, one worshipful body. On our tables tonight, we have a variety of bread, reminding us that we are fed with Jesus, the bread of life. As sent people, we are sent to the table and we are sent from the table. May our sending always be divine. May our never slumbering God swing and fling, swirl and twirl us about in dangerous and delightful dance, never letting us slip nor fall. May holy breezes catch us up and God's wind wrap us tight on our wild and thrilling orbits of obedience so that we can be propelled as passengers of God's momentum, and that every person on our path will shout out, "Blessed are you. Blessed is your good sense, and blessed is your God who sent you." Amen.